Hey, it's Andy. Welcome or welcome back to the Brownsbridge Church podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to download the Brownsbridge Church app, where you can access all of our recent message content, as well as find out more information about Brownsbridge Church. And the app is the easiest way to share this content with a friend. But most importantly, I hope the following presentation inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey.
Hey, Merry Christmas, everyone. Good morning. It's so good to see you. If you're brand new with us to Brownsbridge, my name's Adam, and I'm the lead pastor here at Brownsbridge. And I just want to say thank you for spending your Christmas with us. What an awesome season. What an awesome time of year. So many things to enjoy about this season. And one is what we just heard about, gifts. Gifts that we have given, gifts that we have received. Maybe for some of you, your mind went back to a specific gift that you got, maybe the best gift ever. Anybody remember any specific gifts from their childhood, maybe earlier on in their journey? I can think of several for me personally. I know that for most of us, some of our best memories around Christmas revolve around gifts. And so I actually brought a couple gifts up on stage with me this morning. I thought this would help maybe jog your memory a little bit. This first one was one of my favorites growing up, Christmas of 1988. I will never forget it. And if you are a middle-aged man, you will probably never forget it either. This is a mini version of the real thing, but a Nintendo Entertainment System. Anybody remember this? Super Mario Brothers, Duck Hunt. It was an amazing, amazing experience. It changed the game in 1988. And I would like to give it away to a dad in his 40s I've never seen someone call out a man's age in a service as quickly as she did you right there. That was amazing. So I'm going to give it to this gentleman right here. But here's why. Because our kids nowadays, they got like PlayStations and Xboxes, all these nice things. We don't get to play them. They get all the time. So this is for you this Christmas to have some Nintendo Entertainment action right there. He's 40. That was awesome. So the second one, it came out in 1980. It sold 100 million units, and then it made a resurgence just a few years ago, and it sold about triple that amount just in the last few years. Our kids have gotten into this. It's been very surprising to see, but it's this one right here. Rubik's Cube. Anybody remember this? Obviously, you don't have to remember it because, again, kids are into it nowadays. The difference is, back when we had this in the 80s and the 90s, you actually had to use your brain to solve this. You actually had to work on it. Nowadays, what do kids do? Yeah, they just jump on YouTube and they learn how to solve it in about 2 minutes. So I want to give this away. Someone screamed over this right here. This right here in the red sweater. We'll give that to you. Enjoy that this Christmas. This next one was the first like toy craze. It was the first thing that kind of swept the country. Everybody wanted one. It kind of made the news. You may remember this one. This was in the 1980s. The Cabbage Patch Kid Frenzy, 1983. This is Viviana Vivi is this one's name. They all have very unique names, you know, their own names. Has anybody been to the place these things are born, like 30 minutes up the road? Oh, a lot of you have. It's an experience, isn't it? Woo! I mean, if you haven't, you need to go, and then you need to come talk to me after a service one Sunday and tell me about your experience. I can't wait to hear about it. So, Cabbage Patch Kid Frenzy, and we need to give this to, I see that hand right there, right at the back of this section. You're going to make somebody's Christmas with that one right there. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. All right, we got one more, and if the toy craze in the 80s was Cabbage Patch Kids, this was the toy craze in the 90s, and it went to an entirely different level, okay? It's this one right here. Now, this is not just Elmo, this is what? Tickle Me Elmo, okay? And parents went crazy over this, right? You remember some of the news stories that you'd see on this? This toy taught kids not only to interact with their toys, they could interact with their toys for the very first time. This taught kids to interact with their toys, and then it also taught kids that mom was not afraid to punch somebody in order to get the toy that their kid really wanted at Christmas time. Remember that? I mean, people went crazy over this thing right here. So I see you waving, this sweet little girl right here. You're gonna get a Tickle Me Elmo. Come on up. You can grab that right there. Have an awesome Christmas. Enjoy that. Enjoy that. So did that jar a little memories? I mean, again, it may not have been a gift that you received, but maybe it was a gift that you gave that just made a really, really big deal at Christmas. And for as long as we can remember, as long as you look back in history, people have been exchanging gifts at Christmas time. And there's a lot of debate on where that tradition started. But whoever started it and wherever it started, it certainly got its inspiration from the original Christmas account. Matthew, one of the disciples of Jesus, who later wrote an account of Jesus's life. He knew Mary. He knew Jesus's mom. He knew Jesus's dad, Jesus's brothers. He knew his hometown friends. He would have been very familiar with the story of Jesus's birth. And here's how he documents it in Matthew chapter 2. He says, after Jesus was born, so this is after the census was taken and Mary and Joseph travel from Nazareth down to Bethlehem, and there's no room at the end, and the shepherds and the angels and all of that. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, and we often kind of fast forward past some of the information that's in the scriptures because it doesn't really mean anything to us in our modern day. But what Matthew's doing here is he's setting up a specific location and a specific time in history that this is happening. Bethlehem in Judea is a real place, a place that his audience would have been very familiar with, a place that you and I can travel to and visit today. And during the time of King Herod, well, King Herod, as we see in multiple other historical documents, historical accounts, he's a historical figure. You can study his life and be familiar with his life. We know when he reigned. And so Matthew's setting it up and he's saying, look, this isn't just a fairy tale. This isn't just once upon a time. This is once upon a land. This really happened. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem. And we don't know a lot about these magi. There's been a lot of speculation through the years that they get seen as the wise men when it's talked about in the Christmas story. We sing a song, We Three Kings. And the song, We Three Kings, refers to these magi. There's some speculation that they may have been royalty in another country. They could have been priests in another country's religion. We know that they had some sort of awareness of the stars. They might have been astrologists of some sort. But they have some history or knowledge of ancient Judaism in this predicted Messiah, this coming king. Because we see in verse 2, it says that the Magi, they from the east, they came to Jerusalem and they asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and we have come to worship him. Verse 3, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. And the word disturbed there doesn't really capture it. He was in turmoil. He was terrified. And if you read other things about King Herod's life, if you're familiar with his story at all, you know that he was constantly paranoid of someone taking his throne, and he did all sorts of crazy things in response to this paranoia throughout his life. And so this actually fits history quite well. He was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. And so King Herod, it says this in verse 4, that when he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. He wasn't familiar exactly with the prophecies, so he called together the experts in the law, the religious elite in that day, and he said, hey, where exactly is the Messiah to be born? And they replied, they said, in Bethlehem in Judea, for this is what the prophet has written. And they end up quoting Micah, the Old Testament prophet Micah, who several hundred years before this wrote this. He says, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. And then Herod called the Magi secretly. So he tracked them down. He had heard that they were asking around about the Messiah. So he tells his people, hey, go find those Magi. He called the Magi to them and he found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem. Again, the Magi didn't know where this king was going to be born. They were just following the star. They come to Jerusalem thinking, hey, this is a big city. This is probably where it's going to happen. And he tells them, hey, I found out it's in Bethlehem. It's a little bit south of here. He sends them to Bethlehem and he said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. But we know that that wasn't Herod's intent, right? He was paranoid. He was terrified. He wanted to not go worship Jesus. He wanted to rid the threat to his throne. After they had heard the king, the Magi, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. So I just think about the difference in emotion between the Magi and Herod. Herod was terrified. He was disturbed. And the Magi were overjoyed, which is really in a lot of ways what the season is about. It's about seeing the amazing thing that is happening and being overjoyed at it. Verse 11, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary and they bowed down and worshiped him. Herod said he wanted to worship him, but we know that wasn't the case. The Magi truly worship him. They legitimately worship him. They bow down in front of him. They show humility and reverence and respect. They know they're in the presence of greatness. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of a Nintendo, a Rubik's Cube, and a Tickle Me Elmo doll. Now, you know what they presented him with. Right? It's probably the three most famous Christmas gifts of all time: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And these were valuable, valuable items in the first century. In this cultural context, these would have been huge gifts to give. And the Magi, out of their genuine worship of this newborn king, they gave abundantly. They gave abundantly in response to his greatness. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. As I was studying and preparing for this season, thinking about the Christmas account, I thought, you know, there's really something ironic about this as well. These Magi, they travel from far away and they're not too sure about who Jesus is, but they think he's some sort of newborn king of Israel, and they present him with these gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But in that manger, as we would find out later in the story, later in Matthew's account, throughout the gospel, we see it over and over again. In that manger was the God who created everything. In that manger was the one who Paul would later write about and say that in him, all things were created. Nothing was created that wasn't created by him. All things were created by him and for him. And so in this moment, as they bring gold and frankincense and myrrh to Jesus, they're bringing created things to the creator of all things. How ironic. They're bringing gifts, but Jesus was the gift. His coming into the world as a baby and living a life as a human, God incarnate, and ultimately taking our sin on the cross and bringing us new life through his resurrection. That was the ultimate gift of Christmas. I wrote this in my notes, that they were bringing gifts at Christmas to the gift of Christmas. And there was no comparison. As great as gold and frankincense and myrrh were in those days, they were nothing compared to the gift that was lying in that manger. But here's the cool part. And this is what I don't want us to miss this Christmas. God still delighted in those gifts. No matter how small they were compared to the gift of Jesus, God still delighted in them. And he still delights in the gifts that you and I bring him today. We sometimes can look at our lives and we think, well, I don't know if I measure up. I don't know if I'm really offering much. I mean, you know, I go to church, I read my Bible, or, you know, I do this or I do that, and I try to move towards God. And again, I don't think it's much. that every time we move in his direction, he just delights in us. This came front and center for me last Christmas. I don't know if your elementary schools, your kids' elementary school does this, but our kids' elementary school does this thing called the holiday shop. And it's where they have these little trinkets and knickknacks, really cheap gifts, you know, that they can go, shop. And what we do with our kids is we give them each, you know, a couple dollars, and we just hope that they'll buy a gift for someone other than themselves when they go to the holiday shop. So like your brothers, your mom, your dad, aunt, uncle, grandparent, somebody, right? And so last Christmas, we sent them in, and Jet, my third born, he came home and he said, "Dad, I got you something." And I said, "Is it a grill?" Because that's kind of what I was hoping for. Said, "No, here you go." And he hands me this little brown paper bag. It's about this big. It's folded over and it's stapled. They're not going over the top with the gift wrapping at the holiday shop, apparently. And I open it up and I pulled this out. I know it's kind of hard to see, but this is just a little keychain that's a rocket ship, and it's got a little star emblem on it and this extra little star that says number one on it. I'm assuming that's because I'm the number one dad, I'm guessing. And then it's got an inscription right here on the rocket ship. And as I held it a year ago, I'll never forget this moment. I read it out loud. I said, it says, "Daddy, I love you to the moon and stars and back." And I was like, "Jet, this means so much to me." And he said, "Well, Daddy, it's true." And in that moment, I was, as you can imagine, pretty much a puddle on the floor as I delighted in my son and the attention he was showing me, the affection he was showing me in that moment. And last Christmas, I got a number of gifts, and none of them were as cheap as this one right here, right? And this probably cost 7 cents to make, I would guess. And of course, they sold it for about $3, so yay for... Yay for profit margin. I didn't have a gift that was nearly as inexpensive as this one, but this was by far the most meaningful gift I got all Christmas. And I put it on my keychain, and throughout the year, it's been a reminder of that moment. But as my heart was full from that interaction with Jet, I kind of went on in my day and was carrying that joy with me. And then it dawned on me. The joy that I had in Jet in that moment from this little inexpensive gift that he had brought me, that's the same joy that our Heavenly Father has in us. Because of Jesus coming at Christmas and going to the cross to pay for the sins of the world and being resurrected, we have the right to become children of God. That's what the gospel writer John said. To all who received him, to all who believed in his name, we have the right to become sons and daughters of God. So we are God's children through Jesus. And because of that, he delights in us. In the same way that I was delighting in Jet, from this little keychain that he gave me last Christmas. That's the way God delights in us. Even in the moments where we feel like we don't measure up, even in the moments where we feel like we don't have a ton to offer, that's the kind of God that created us. That's the kind of God that loves us and walks alongside us. And it all started at Christmas when Jesus came to earth to live and to die and to be raised to life so that we could know God in a personal way, so that he could fix our relationship with God and we could walk in his delight. So this Christmas, as you receive gifts, as you give gifts, as you see gifts exchanged, I hope you're reminded of the gift of Christmas. And the fact that because of Jesus, God delights in you. And I hope you feel that delight, experience that delight throughout this season. On your way in, you got a candle. And in just a few minutes, we're gonna light those candles and fill this room with light to represent the light that Jesus brought at first Christmas. And we're gonna do this in a unique way this year. We know that for many folks here today, 2023 was a significant year in your faith journey. You experienced God in a unique way. You took a significant step this year. But you look at 2023 and even years from now, you'll say that was a significant year. We want you to be the first to light a candle. So in just a minute, I'm gonna read the Christmas story from the Luke 2 account. And as I begin to read, I want you to stand up and make your way to one of our guest services volunteers who has a candle. We've got some up in the balcony as well. And you be the first to light a candle so that we can celebrate with you what God has done. Now, if you're seated in the middle of a row, you may think to yourself, I got a lot of people, I don't wanna bother them. It's not a bother. People will gladly move out of the way in order to celebrate with you. That's what our church is all about, helping people take next steps so they can experience God in a more personal and specific way. So if you put your faith in Jesus this year, if this was the year it clicked, this was the year you heard something, you read something, and finally you were like, I believe, you come light a candle. If this is the year that you began to follow, if this is the year that you came back to church after being away from church for a long time, if this was the year that you got baptized and you went public with your faith, we wanna celebrate with you, you come light a candle. Or maybe this was just the year that God did something significant in your story or in your life. You stand right now and you come light a candle. And I'm gonna read the Christmas account for us. Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Just take a look around and see the light all around you. It's beautiful. We celebrate with you. Those of you who took a significant step, you can begin to light the candles of the other folks on your row, and we're gonna sing together. Let me pray for us and we'll continue with our service. Father, thank you. Thank you for this season. Thank you for the joy. Thank you for the connection that we experience with friends and family in this season. And thank you for the gifts that we experience. God, thank you ultimately for the gift of Christmas that we see and experience in the life of Jesus, your son. And God, the fact that through faith in him, we get to be called sons and daughters of God. And Lord, know that you delight in us and in our lives. God, would we experience that in this season and as we begin a new year? God, we're thankful most for Jesus who makes it all possible. In Jesus' name, amen.